fell right down that rabbit hole. So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder, mayhem, tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Paul, and their dog Ninja.
Sometimes their cat, Freddy, but never the ferrets.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 347 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, obviously we want to start by thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world. Thank you all for doing everything you can to help us be safe each and every day, and to just do the thankless jobs out there. We want to give a special shout out this week to Fire Chief Rocky Wood from Hayes Eye, Virginia. He was also part of the Virginia Forestry, but he lost his life doing his job in a forest fire recently, and I wanted to make sure that we acknowledged him this week.
Yeah, God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service. Thank all you guys out there for everything you all do for our country. We can't say it enough. We appreciate you, and we pray for you guys every day.
Obviously, this next one's a little closer to home as far as our announcements, because we're going to just make sure that you know that if you know somebody who's struggling right now for whatever their reasons may be, that you reach out to them. And we are definitely in that situation. We have been struggling most of the week, which obviously some of you will know about, some of you won't. We'll get into it. But I want to say ahead of time, a big thank you to so many of you that have reached out for us. And special, not that you know anybody's any better than anybody else for reaching out, because obviously we look at it all the same. Thanks to all of you. But I did want to give a shout out to Anthony and Teresa, because they are going through a lot right now. They've got some challenges ahead of them, and Tracy and I have been thinking of them and sending out all of our positive thoughts now for a couple of weeks. And I told Anthony that I would mention Teresa on an upcoming show, and that's now's the best time to do it, because you know they actually sent us a little edible arrangements and a card. And with everything they got going on, that just meant the world to us.
Yes, it did. Thank you guys so much. Always in our prayers, honey. You got this.
Yep, you got it. All right, Tracy, I've been dreading this for 5 days now. There is no doubt this will be the toughest episode that we've ever. As many of you know, our beloved Ninja passed away on Wednesday. We found out that he was very sick on Tuesday, and we tried one last-ditch effort to save him, but knew it was a long shot, and unfortunately, we had to make an extremely tough decision to say goodbye to our baby on Wednesday, and I don't think I'm speaking for myself when I say it was the toughest decision I've ever made in my entire life.
John, honey, it was... It was horrible. And this is our first podcast. Looking over and seeing Ninja not here, it's just heartbreaking. Yeah. It was the biggest part of our show, too. And I'm glad we got to share him with you guys. This is really hard.
So it's 346 regular episodes. Almost over 1,500 bonus episodes. It's over close to 2,000 episodes that he's been right there in the room. The last episode we recorded with him, we actually recorded early Wednesday night, was the episode that about the Easter massacre that came out yesterday on Macabre Misfortunes. And that was very hard for us to do, because we literally knew that what the next day held. We recorded that on Tuesday, I should say, after we had already got his prognosis. And it was just rough. And I want to say, because I know not everybody understands. Not everybody understands a pet like that. Most of us have had pets, and sometimes they have different effects than other pets. It's not against anything with other pets. There's just sometimes there is a bond there. And, you know, this, we have been devastated since Tuesday when we knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And even a little before that, just to give you guys some insight on kind of how all this took place and how sudden it was. You know, in the past 3 months, Ninja had a couple little seizures, little mini things that talked to some people about. And it's like, yeah, that happens sometimes when they get a little older. Ninja was 10. And I took Ninja to the groomer last Thursday. And I decided to make about a 25-minute trip somewhere because it usually takes a couple of hours. So I had time to make a quick run and get back. It was early in the morning. And I got a call about 20 minutes after I dropped him off. And when that happened, I was immediately scared because that morning I had had a dream. I don't know if it was a dream or a vision while I was laying in bed awake, but I had a dream that I dropped Ninja off and I got an emergency call that something had happened to him. And I thought about it, but then I didn't really pay it any, you know, it's just those things happen. Literally 25 minutes after dropping him off, I get a call from the groomer saying I needed to turn around and come back. Ninja had an episode. He wasn't breathing and his tongue was black. And I could not get there any sooner than 25 minutes. And I called Tracy, woke her up out of bed. This was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and told her she needed to get up there ASAP. She lives, you know, we live 10 minutes from the groomer. And then I turned around and got to the groomer as fast as I could. When I got there, Tracy was holding him. He seemed to be fine, a little shaken, but he seemed to be fine. And the rest of the day, he was fine. He was back to his normal self and all day the next day on Friday. But then Saturday and Sunday, we called, by the way, when we got back home, from the groomer and made an appointment for the vet. And the vet said it, they didn't think it was an emergency. They could give him pills to treat seizures. And we made an appointment for Tuesday. It was as soon as we could get him in. But then Saturday, Sunday, we noticed he really wasn't eating. He started to be kind of a little on the lazy side. So we kind of felt like maybe he was sick, but it didn't seem to be connected to what had happened, but we didn't know that. And then we tried to get him in on Monday and couldn't. And Tuesday when we took him, by that time, he just could barely walk. He couldn't, he was wobbling. And we found out at the doctor that they thought the seizure could have had something to do with it, but we also found out he was in kidney failure. And that wasn't something that we were going to be able to fix. But we tried one last-ditch effort with antibiotics, steroids, and some fluids, and the doctor said, hey, if it's going to work, you will have a noticeable improvement by the morning. And unfortunately, we didn't have that improvement. And we had to make the call to go ahead and set up a time. And we spent as much time with him as we could. And when the time came, we were holding him in the doctor's office. And when that time came and he left, he at least knew he was loved because he was, you know, being held by the two of us.
Yeah.
Now, here's the part that I want to make sure that people understand. Because I was one of these people one time that would say, well, your dog died. I remember being a boss, a manager, and an employee calling saying they couldn't come to work because their dog had died and literally poo-pooing it because I didn't realize. At that time, this was years ago. And since then, I've had a dog, Cho-Cho, that I wrote about in a book that was very special to me, that helped me through my divorce and everything, that when that dog died, I was devastated. With that being said, it was nothing like it has been with Ninja for the both of us. We have, like I said, literally cried for 5 days. And when you think it's going to be over, it's not. There's constant reminders everywhere. Everywhere. But I want to explain to somebody who completely get it. Completely. But I want to try to explain why Ninja meant so much to us. So we're going to go back to September of 2012. There was a lot that went on back then in our lives. Now, Tracy and I had been together for about 5 years. And yes, we had a pretty great life. We were in love and we were so happy that we found each other. But two major things happened to both of us. Tracy surprisingly lost a job that she had been at for years and loved. And she was devastated by that. If you know Tracy at all, she is so dedicated to anything she does. And she was very hurt and blindsided by this. And that put her into a little bit of a state of depression. Around the same time, one of my best friends, Kevin, was actually killed in a car accident. And that put me in a state of depression. So both of us, even though we had each other, we were both in very different worlds at that time. And I hadn't been that depressed in literally years. And Tracy probably the same, because we'd been together for 5 years and neither one of us had had that kind of an episode. When Tracy had lost that job, there was a profit sharing bonus that was due to her. And we used part of that money to decide to go out and get a dog. Now, you got to remember, as much as Tracy and I loved each other, we were both kind of past our childbearing years. So we didn't have an opportunity to have kids together. This was our one opportunity to be able to have something similar that we could raise together. And I remember that we went out to this little house in Fairdale that breeds dogs. My parents had gotten a couple of dogs. And there were two dogs to choose from. There was a little Yorkie. And then there was Ninja. And they told us that Ninja was the runt of the litter. And we had a discussion. And we chose Ninja. Now, I say that, but looking back, I think he chose us.
Yeah. He was this little white fluff of white poof. That's all you could see was that. He was so cute.
But the thing of it is, when we got Ninja home, that's all we could think of. We immediately turned our focus on that dog, and he made us so happy. And I remember that day, we were going to the Phoenix Hill Chili Cook-Off, for those of you in Louisville who remember that. Had a bunch of bands and stuff going out, and usually they're only open at nighttime, but this was something that's done during the day. And my best friend Ron, who, as his brother Kevin, was the one that was killed, he was really struggling. So he wanted to go up there, and we agreed to all meet up there. So we dropped Ninja off at our house, and we went up there, and you know, we spent some time listening to some music and spending some time with Ron and giving him a chance to get his mind off stuff. But I can remember the whole time we were there, all I could think about was getting home to Ninja. And it was the first time that I had been excited about something in several weeks. October 4th, I can remember the day. So theoretically, I think that dog healed both of us that day.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have the problem with depression. And to be honest with you, have there been bad days? Yeah, there's always going to be. But there have been no bouts of depression in 10 and a half years since we've got that dog. And yes, to us, that was a child to us, because we actually had an opportunity to raise him, because we couldn't raise a child together. We had, through my heart surgery that I had. I had a heart attack right after we got Ninja in January of 10 years ago, and then turned around 10 years later and had another heart attack. And then I had heart surgery, you know, almost 7 years ago. And in every one of those cases, all I could think about was getting back home to Ninja. Mm-hmm. Tracy can vouch for, well, I was in the hospital this last time for 8 days. We had Kristen coming over checking on Ninja. She came home a few times, but the first 3 or 4 days, she wouldn't go home. And I begged her to come home because I didn't want Ninja to be alone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I didn't want him to be here by himself either. But, you know, it's just, it's one of those things. If I could have brought him to the hospital, I would have. But we couldn't, and I couldn't leave Jerry.
But I would have rather been there by myself than to leave Ninja alone. That's how much that dog, and I feel bad even saying dog.
I know.
But that's how much he meant to us. You know, he was a part of every facet of our day. He slept in the bed with us every night. So when we go to bed, he's not there. I woke up every morning. I haven't had a legitimate have to get up and go to work job for 3 years now. But I still got up every morning and got dressed at a certain time because he had to go outside and go to the bathroom. I couldn't keep him waiting. I don't even have that routine. I have nothing literally to keep me from just laying in the bed. That was what got me up in the mornings. Every time we left the house, making sure that we had food and stuff cut up for him, making sure that these certain doors were closed, making sure he had water, talking to him, leaving the TV on for him. All these things that we did just have just stopped. You know, we come home every day, same routine. As soon as we get home, there he is. He's got his toys waiting for us. And now he's not waiting for us when we come home. And that's hard to get used to.
Yeah, it's very hard. And, like, seriously, don't even want to come home anymore. Because it's so lonely without him. And I know we'll get over it. But this just ripped my heart out so bad. And I can't thank you guys enough because you were all there for us. And we needed you. We definitely needed you. And it's just been a hard month with Jerry's situation and now this. But we'll get through it and we'll come back. And I'm just glad we have all our stuff to look forward to.
Yeah, our live events and stuff are going to actually have more meaning to us this year. And
so
it's just, it's crazy. It was just not something we were expecting by any means. And I'm sure Ninja would be very happy to know the impact that he made on all of you guys, because when I put up the post about it, I mean, there was over, you know, something like 400 comments, people talking about his snoring, people talking about his whatever, and we'll you know, his grunts and noise and his farts that disrupted the show on so many occasions. And, you know, it's like I said, we were always posting videos and pictures and all that, because now there's pictures and videos, you know, or pictures all over our walls. So everywhere we look, there's pictures of him.
Yeah.
And we don't even have that many pictures of our kids and grandkids in some cases. But all right, so this isn't going to be a regular length episode, at least story-wise. I know we've talked for 20 minutes already about this, and but I wanted people to know that you know, we're not going to have any interviews. We're not going to do Patreon stuff. We're not going to talk about live events we got coming on. We're just not. This is our tribute to Ninja. And I thought what we would do by dedicating this to him is to cover a story about some departed pets.
Okay.
Because I thought maybe if we're going to do a story here, maybe this would be something that it was fitting and would maybe cheer us up. And then we'll end the episode with a little tribute I put together. So our story is from Kathleen Pritchett. She actually has two stories, Tracy. She's been lucky enough to have two pets come back.
Good.
She says that she's seen her cat and her chihuahua after they both passed. Her cat, Callie, was a yellow tabby. Callie was adopted when she was about 6 weeks old, and she passed when she was 16 years old.
Wow.
At the time of Callie's passing, Kathleen and her husband were unfortunately on a trip to Chicago looking for colleges for their youngest daughter. Their oldest daughter remained home and was keeping an eye on the cat. Well, Callie had been ill often, and the last few weeks she'd gotten a little bit worse, unfortunately. She became seriously ill during this trip. The oldest daughter took the cat to the vet, and she got some bad news, unfortunately, that there was only one option left. She called her parents and got permission to have Callie put to sleep. We're going to fast forward 6 months later. Kathleen says that she saw Callie out of the corner of her eye. At the time she was kind of typing on the computer. Now you can say, well, out of the corner of somebody's eye, that could really be easily mistaken. But one time she says she clearly saw the cat sitting on the edge of the sofa. Not only that, but Callie was staring right at her. Probably like Ninja does all the time.
Yeah.
I said Ninja, I meant Freddy.
Freddy, I know you did.
She said there was one spot in her bedroom which had the afternoon sun pouring over a bedspread. So you got this bedspread, but the sun shines on it. So I guess it's probably a nice little warm spot. Callie always liked that spot. After her death, Kathleen said that she would go in there in that bedroom many times after the sun had set and see an indentation of a cat's body on that bedspread. The indentation would always be warm to the touch while the area around it was not.
Oh.
Here's the topper, though. One night, Kathleen and her husband were reading in bed. She said there were four lamps lit. There was two on the nightstands, one by each side, and two on the dresser. They both heard a very loud purring, so much so that they put down their reading materials, and then they felt an invisible cat jump on the end of the bed and slowly walk towards them. They could feel the paws on the bed as the cat came closer. The purring was getting louder and louder, and then it stopped right at their head and then went completely silent.
That's awesome.
But that wasn't her only experience with a deceased pet, as we said earlier, with her chihuahua, Ricky Bobby. He was only 10, she said, when he passed away from a heart problem. She says as the problem got worse, he would continually pant really heavily because of the fluid buildup. But he didn't act any differently. He still played. He still barked. He ate food. One morning, he was having some severe problem, and her husband decided to run him up to the vet and have him looked at. He said the x-rays and stuff showed an enlarged, water-encased heart. The doctor suggested that it was time. Kathleen said her and her husband were heartbroken. The week after his death, he began appearing to the family, the entire family. Just like with the cat, at first it was out of the corner of an eye. But then Kathleen saw him sitting about 4 feet away from her in the living room. She said he was completely solid and alert looking. She said over the next year, she had seen him off and on. The family believes that he didn't either want to leave because his sister Lucy was a part of their household. So they still had his sister with them. Lucy would look for him constantly, not realizing that he was dead. One day, she just stopped looking. The family thinks that this is when he probably went into the light. Kathleen says that she feels that animals have souls, and they go to a better place after death. Those who linger, according to her, she thinks do so because they're either a tad confused about being gone, or they just don't want to leave their owners.
Yeah.
And that's a pleasant thought.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see Ninja. I hope.
I'm hoping. We feel like we hear him every once in a while, but we're
this is so new. Yeah.
That's the soundtrack to our life. We when we're home, he's you know, people you gotta realize Ninja was never, not one time in a room where one of us wasn't. Never. Some dogs and some cats, Freddie does it all the time. Freddie just goes up to a room and he just hides out. Ninja never did that. If we were in a room, if we were both in a room, he was in that room. And if I was upstairs and Tracy was downstairs, he was with one of us. He yeah. never went to a room by himself, ever. Not one time.
Mm-mm. He sure didn't.
So, yeah, it's we were so used to hearing him snore and grunt, and that was heavy breathing. That's just always the case. So, yeah, we probably will hear that a time or two when it's not really there.
Yeah, I'm
just
sure.
Just because it's in our embrained in our heads already. So with that being said, that kind of ends this show. Hopefully things get back to normal soon. I mean, I know between my illness and between this, it's just really screwed up a lot of the shows we're putting out. We didn't do a single episode last week on Patreon, not even our bonus episode, and I apologize for that. We just couldn't. We just couldn't.
Yeah, we're sorry, guys.
I'll make it up to you, though, I promise. I'll get the bonus episode out this coming week. We're getting ready to go on a vacation that we had to reschedule. So after this week, we'll be on vacation, and honestly, it probably couldn't come at a better time. So with that being said, Ninja, thank you so much. We love you. We miss you, and you're always going to be in our heart.
get back home. Sleep pretty, darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. Sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty, darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby.